Hello, everyone. I'm commenting on Jeff Thompson's question about accessibility and whether current accessibility via things like Android and iPhone are improving the job prospects of people with a visual impairment. Sadly, I think not at the moment. I'm probably agreeing with JLL Tribute to some extent there. I think I saw a comment from him just now and I listened to that. I think, yes, it's something to do with the machinery and the things in some of the more sort of manufacturing-type jobs, and also we covered sort of IT perspectives. I mean, in IT, the only thing I'd say is that we've had some accessibility for a long time, even with Windows, really right from sort of Windows 95. The only problem with that is that whilst Windows 95 is accessible, other things that it accesses in the workplace are not necessarily accessible, and it's the same really with actually I'll come on to that in a minute. So you know, there were just some things that, for example, in my job that I wouldn't be able to do. So we'd use scanning software to scan hard copy text onto the screen, then needing to proofread it, proofread the soft copy against a hard copy. Well, for a start off, it would be difficult for me to even scan the document in the first place, because you choose which parts of the document you want to scan, and then you order it that way and then scan it, so it scans it in the order that you want. You know, there are other things like customer service related roles that often the software isn't accessible, even though the platform might be. The only reason I think that we're getting good accessibility with things like Android and Apple is because they are only having to make their platform accessible, and then it's relatively easy for them to lobby others and necessitate accessibility ideals from them. And it's also because obviously there's a market out there. So, you know, although to some extent it's a VI perspective that they're looking at, they're also they also know there's a wider market out there with age-related other disabilities and things like that. So because we're an ageing population, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, then obviously it stands to reason that it's in their interest to make their phones as easy to use as possible and accessible to everybody. Then they publicise that ideal, and then they get even more people joining because it just works. The other thing about accessibility on Android and iPhone and the like is that parts of that accessibility can be used elsewhere in the device. So, for example, if we take VoiceOver, which is the one I know most about, you can use VoiceOver, elements of VoiceOver, if you will, to access, for example, reading texts out. So, you know, my colleagues at work that have iPhones don't need to activate VoiceOver to have the text read out to them. They can just put, there's an option where you can choose to have your text read out if you highlight the text in a certain way. Just press read, I think it is, or something like that. You can click a speech bubble and it will just read the current text to you. So it's utilising VoiceOver elements in that respect, I guess, as would other apps be so doing. Also, Siri would utilise elements of VoiceOver when reading back the information that is being asked for by the user, regardless of whether they're visually impaired, that speech would be rendered to them. So that information would be rendered to them with speech. So I think that's why we're getting good results in terms of accessibility in within iPhone and Android and so on. I think it's interesting that 75% or so of people of working age in the States are unemployed. That's people with a visual impairment. It's probably more like 85% over here. I'd imagine it's gone up a little bit with the current recession and things in place, and that it will go up a bit as people with a visual impairment in the UK certainly are not going to get access to specialist colleges anymore, really. That we're going to have to go to mainstream colleges in order to get any kind of further education, higher education, or continuous education. So I would imagine that that we would lose out there, really, that you know, it's a lot harder to access jobs now because the training for them in the first place, the training for your intended career or your change of career, is going to be harder to come by. And in my lifetime, in my working career, we've gone, for example, from rehabilitation centre that was run by the Royal National Institute for the Blind in Torquay, so that if not only if you lost your sight, but if you had some kind of career change, you know, you lost your job, you'd be trained to do something else. That closed years ago, and for a while I think was incorporated into their site in Leicester, possibly. But that's certainly gone now, and I don't believe there's anything for us there. So actually, it's not just accessibility, but the structure, the infrastructure, if you will, for us being able to get jobs in the first place has been diminished a little bit. So I think all in all, it's a tough world out there, and it's become a little tougher as government tries to save money, as colleges that would have helped and get us job opportunities are being pushed. Those opportunities are being taken away because specialist colleges are only able to get funding for people who have severe disabilities. So I don't know. I think all those factors really make things difficult. And I think you're right, Jeff. I mean, I've been working for the same charity for a number of years, 20 years nearly. I certainly don't think I'm underemployed, but I think I'm under-opportuned in some respects, because it's hard for me to progress on the career ladder. If anything, transcription work, production, in terms of producing braille, large print and audio, opportunities in some ways are widening out, but then people are doing a lot of stuff online. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens with me and my future in that regard. I think, how do you upskill? Those are sort of things I'd be thinking about. And I guess for me, whilst I've got a job, it'd be easier to either get another job or go on a course, because I could pay for it myself and that kind of thing. but for people that aren't in work at the moment, it would be interesting to see, you know, what can be done, what they would be thinking about doing in order to get that job. You know, you have to start, we're widening the conversation a bit possibly, but you have to start with, the confidence to go and get it, you know, the confidence that you have the skills that you can demonstrate to that prospective employer. And to bring it back to accessibility then, as a final thought, I would say that accessibility of the stuff that we have now is good for showing off, as it were. You know, I've used my iPhone extensively in interviews when I need to read people's notes or read notes on people or write notes, or I've taken minutes in meetings. I use Siri extensively for reminders and appointment keeping and tracking my to-do lists and things like that more and more. So you can demonstrate that, I guess, before, you know, even at interview stage, so before you even talk about things like how you might access that job per se, you can show that you can do things, and therefore demonstrate to the potential employer that you have abilities that would otherwise be unseen or hidden if you didn't have that accessibility and technology available to you. So there's my thoughts, really. Hope there's some fairly sort of rounded thinking there that you might want to get your teeth into. And I think, really, for all of us, let's just continue finding innovative ways of getting those jobs and helping others to so do, and helping ourselves to what's out there. Okay, bye-bye, thanks.